Our reading is from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise for spiritual blessings in Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. And this is the word of the Lord.
Lucy, thank you very much. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. It's wonderful to see you all here this morning. It's great to see so many people here. I just want to tell you what happened on Sunday at the APCM. We did a formal farewell to Nellie Davis, and we gave her a present, and it was so big that Charles had to help me carry it on stage. It was that big. And it was a wooden grow house. It's like a sort of mini greenhouse. Now, you know, Nellie really, really likes her plants and her gardening. And so we've given her like a sort of wooden greenhouse type thing, grow house to put together. She's also got a check as well, just so that you know that there. So it's good to say goodbye to Nellie on Sunday. And do say hello to Rian downstairs. It's her first day. Particularly those of you who are going downstairs afterwards. We'll see how we get on. I'll be coming downstairs as well. Well, today is the start of a new series on Ephesians. And as Lizette said, hopefully everybody got a card. It really, really, really helps the preacher if you can read the passage before you get here. But we will always print the passage on the order of service as well. And the reason I chose it is because there's a lot in the book, because we haven't done it before, but because we did it at the 10 a.m. service, the morning services in the spring term here at Christchurch on Sunday mornings, and it was part of our teaching on wholeness. So if you would like a longer sermon, you can listen online to different people speaking on different passages from Ephesians. There's some really, really good talks on this, and you'll find them on the church website. But we're simply going to go through Ephesians. So what is Ephesians? It's a letter 6 chapters long that was written to churches in Ephesus and around about. Ephesus is in Turkey. It's on the west coast of Turkey, and it's where the temple to Diana or Artemis was. Paul wrote the letter around 59, 60, 61 AD when he was in prison in Rome. And Paul had visited Ephesus on his third missionary journey, and he had started the church there. And as he often did, he wrote letters to encourage the people in the places he had left behind. So this 6-chapter letter is, first of all about doctrine. So chapters 1, 2, and 3 is all about new life in Christ, the new society. And then the second half of the letter is about practical matters, about the new standards and new relationships. I'm simply going to talk on the first bit of the first chapter, what it means to be in Christ. For those of you who switch off during the talks, feel free to count how many times it says in Christ or in him, in Christ or in him, throughout these first 14 verses. I'll tell you later how many I make it, and we'll see if we agree. What does it mean to be in Christ? The whole of the beginning of Ephesians is about Jesus. Jesus Christ and the church, his body. And I'm just really going to concentrate on those first 2 or 3 verses. So let's look again at what they say. Verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. So he's the person writing the letter. He calls himself an apostle. He's speaking with authority by God's will. And he says, I belong to Christ Jesus. 2, the letter is to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. He's writing to the Christians in Ephesus. And in the other translations, it says to God's saints. And what he's saying there is that everyone who believes in Jesus, all the members of the church, are saints, holy people. He's saying we are saints, holy people. May not feel like that sometimes. And then he says, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you. So that's Paul's opening remarks to this letter. Then we get that really, really long section Lucy read to us, praise for spiritual blessings in Christ. Did you know verses 3 to 14 are one sentence long in the Greek? One sentence. That is an awful lot to write. He's so overwhelming with, I want to bless God because he's blessed us with all these blessings. And so he writes praise. So this morning, I simply want to look at 3 things. The fact that we belong to Christ and we also live in this world. The fact that we are in Christ. And the fact we have so many spiritual blessings to be thankful for. We belong to Christ and to the world. We're in Christ, and we've got so many spiritual blessings to be thankful for. So let's start off with, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. He's actually saying you belong to 2 places. Now, does anyone ever come to you and say, where do you come from? Where do you belong? And they try and sort of pin you down. And I sometimes find it quite difficult. They say, well, do you come from Bristol? And I say, well, I've lived here since I was 18. So I now say I come from Bristol. Or do I say I come from Africa because that's where I was brought up? Or do I say I come from Nottingham? That's where I was born. But I only lived there for 8 weeks till we moved. Or do I say I come from Christchurch? I'm a Christian. Where do you come from? Who do you belong to? There's something deeply moving about these verses. He's telling the Christians they belong in Ephesus. They are rooted in a particular place. You belong in Ephesus. And he says to us, you belong in Bristol. This is where you are based. I am God's holy people here. But he also calls us the faithful ones in Christ Jesus. He's also saying, you also belong in the spiritual realm. You also belong to Jesus Christ. So Paul is saying two things. He's saying we belong to Christ, we're in Christ Jesus, but we also are in the world. We're rooted in a particular place. And sometimes those two realms, if you like, can collide. Have you heard that phrase? She was so heavenly minded, she was of no earthly use. We belong here on earth. We have a place here on earth. We're rooted on earth. We're called to be useful, to be faithful here. But we also belong in heaven, the spiritual realm. I mean, the other side of being no earthly use is people who spend all their time on earth and they never ever look up towards Christ risen in heaven. So it's no good spending all your time inside the church but never out in Bristol, in the world that's missing Christ. Or it's no good to spend all your time outside in the world, but you'll never ever spend time in church, spend time in Christ Jesus. To God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, we are God's holy people. We're in that fixed place where he has put us, but we're also in Christ. We belong, if you like, to two realms. We're here on earth at the moment, but we also belong in the heavenly realm with Christ. So secondly, he says we are in Christ. I don't know if anyone's had a chance to count how many times it says in him or in Christ. Any answers? You made it 8. I made it 9, but it depends. There's one or two that could be one or the other, 8 or 9, in Christ. We are in Christ. It comes in verse 1, the faithful in Christ Jesus. It comes in verse, which one's the next verse? Verse 4, he chose us in him. And then it goes on, he has given us, verse 6, in the one he loves. And it goes on and on. We are in Christ. So what does it mean to be in Christ? When I was young, I remember somebody teaching me the definition of a Christian, and they spelt C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A-N. And then they took off the last three letters, I-A-N, and turned it to in-A. And they said a Christian person is Christ in a person. And that's what I was taught. So Christians, Christ is in us. Christ is inside us. He's in our hearts, in our souls. He is in us. But we are also in Christ, in him. On Sunday, I think it was the 27th of January, Neil Shepherd's wife, Natalie, preached on this passage to the 10. So sorry if you heard the illustration before, but it really stuck with me. She's talking about aeroplanes, and she talked about setting off to go on a journey in an aeroplane. And she said, you go to the airport to catch a plane. And then she said, when you get there, do you stay in the airport looking at the plane? Do you just admire the plane? Are you inspired by the plane? Do you follow behind the plane? And she was saying, no, you go inside the plane itself to travel. It's not enough just to admire the plane from afar or follow behind the plane. We need to be inside the plane. There are people that admire Jesus from a distance, or they follow behind him, but they are not going in him. They say, well, I'm inspired by him, but they don't actually go in Christ and he in them. To be in Christ means to be rooted in him, to be found in him. Christ is inside us and we are inside him. There's a unity there, an intimacy, a union with Jesus. And if we're in Christ, if we're linked in him, we're part of the vine. Think of the analogy of the vine and the branches. And as we're linked in Christ, we're also linked to each other, other members of Christ's body in the vine. We're linked to the head, Jesus, but we're also linked to others. So first we thought about the fact we belong to two worlds. We belong in this world, but we also belong to Christ. Secondly, we thought about the fact that we are called to be in Christ, deeply, intimately with Christ, in him. And finally, verses 3 to 14, the spiritual blessings that we have received, and so praise him. Verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Paul doesn't even take breath. He keeps writing all the way down to verse 14. So if we pick out, what are these blessings he's talking about? He's talking about he chose us. He adopted us as sons and daughters. He gave us his grace freely. We have redemption through his blood. We have forgiveness of our sins. We have his grace lavished on us. We can know the mystery of his will to bring unity. Again, he says, verse 11, we were chosen. He talks about we've put our hope in Christ. And then he talks about the message of the truth in verse 13, the gospel of our salvation. And then finally, verse 14, he talks about being marked by the Holy Spirit as a deposit or down payment of our inheritance. Paul is blessing God for blessing us with this long, long list of blessings. To finish, I just want to pick out one, and that's verse 7. Verse 7, in him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Redemption is when you redeem something. You have to pay something back. Something's gone to the pawnbrokers and you have to pay to get it back again. We have been redeemed through his blood. Jesus died on the cross. We remember that on Good Friday. And we remember that when we have communion, the wine we take is a symbol of his blood, which has brought us redemption. We have been bought back. And the world is in such a mess. It needs redeeming desperately. He's given us forgiveness of our sins. And whatever we do to try and atone for all those things we've done wrong, you cannot do it on your own. We need his forgiveness. Only Jesus can forgive us everything. And then it talks about God's grace. Again, back to when I was a child, was anyone else taught about grace? God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace, it's a wonderful word. It means undeserved favor, undeserved just love pouring out. The world needs redeeming. It's in a mess. Jesus offers us redemption from evil, from slavery, assurance of sins forgiven. So to finish, we belong in two places. When someone says, where do you come from? We belong here in Bristol as God's holy people or saints. We have all been placed here, 2019, to be in Clifton or somewhere else within Bristol, to serve God, to the praise of his glory. Are we of earthly use? But we also belong to Christ. We belong in the spiritual realm. We belong to Christ. We are faithful to him, not just as distant followers or admirers, but we are in Christ, linked to him, part of the vine. And finally, that endless list of blessings God has given us: redemption, forgiveness, and grace. So when you come forward and receive communion, under your breath, say, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for my redemption. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for the grace you've given me. And then the passage finishes off by reminding us about the seal of the Holy Spirit. In baptism, we put a sign of cross on someone's forehead, and it's like saying there's that invisible sign, the Holy Spirit inside us saying, I belong to Christ, to guarantee our inheritance. To the praise of his glory. Amen. Let's just be quiet and just think, what is God saying to me through this passage? And then in the quiet, let's just say thank you to God. There might be something here you want to bring before him.